On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are joined by Shy Beer Guy as we dive into Bug, the 10th annual Beer Under Glass. All that while drinking some Bulldog beer, and we dive into some of the other events coming up for Illinois Craft Beer Week. All that and more on this week's episode.
Dude, these last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got a special guest joining us this week.
Yeah.
Shy Beer Guy.
Yeah, man. We got Brady Potts in the building. What's up, man?
That's right. What's up, guys?
Thanks for joining us and making your way over here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you have been all over Bug doing live videos and Instagram lately, and mm-hmm. So it's nice to finally sync up here. And like, and you have your own kind of podcast / beer reviews that you're doing, right?
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even want to categorize it, to be honest with you guys. But
beer media,
beer media. Scene, that's it. Just okay. The regular beer media.
Right. Drinking with crazy. A purpose.
That's right. Yeah,
that's awesome. How'd you get into making that content, or like why, like what drove you to do like beer review, beer kind of media, I guess?
Well, as I said, I worked in bar restaurant industry for the better part of 12 years. I've watched the evolution of craft beer in that space, and it always really amazed me, not only from a consumer standpoint, but also from a business standpoint. So I kind of watched from afar at the beginning of my career in that industry. Mm-hmm. And eventually I got into, of course, tasting things as many people do, starting out light, going to IPAs, going to stouts. And I ended up working at my last job was over at the Brass Tap in Orland Park.
Okay.
Which was voted the number one craft beer bar in the state 2 years running for the last 2 years. So 2017, 2018.
I had, they had a really cool Dick Butkus jersey framed on the wall. And I had vanilla Deeth versus vanilla BCS. This was like my December trip to the Brass Tap. That's a fun spot.
It's a cool spot. Lots of beer, lots to choose from. There's always a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So from there, I found that I have a decent ability to articulate the complexities of beer. I was always told just from my tables and bar guests and people that I spoke to that I had a good ability to describe beer. So from that point, that's when I started the live reviews, and that's when I started the page. I just started with live reviews, and then I became more interested in the behind the scenes. So I started to do, you know, interviews with brewers and, mm-hmm. and owners of Chicagoland breweries, and it's kind of just how I got started.
Cool.
Yeah, we saw you get down with a couple guys, the Energy City guy. We saw you interview him. Yeah. Dan from Around the Bend, who mm-hmm. we talked to. We like Dan.
Dan's a
cool
guy.
Yeah. Energy Very City cool dude's guy. Too cool too. We haven't interviewed him yet though.
Right. Dave Fox.
Cool guys.
Speaking of Dan, and then at District Brew Yards, which Nick and I were just at recording an episode, we got all this Bulldog beer.
Yeah.
That we're diving into for Illinois Craft Beer Week, and because we only drink Illinois beer, really, on this podcast. Yeah. So.
I'm about it.
We got some Kiss, some Gwen, some of the OK Fine, the Vinny. We got a variety pack.
Yeah, I think you got it going with that Bavarian Lager, the mm-hmm. Vinny. And then OK Fine was the one, when we talked to all three of them, that the other crews, I think, drank the most of from Bulldog. Like,
oh, that's the one they're getting down with.
And Burn City, they were like, yeah, I drank all the OK Fine. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a double dry.
That's what I heard from Jerome. I mentioned to you guys, I just saw Jerome over at Beer Miscuous here.
Nice.
And he had said that OK Fine did really well for them in the opening weeks. So.
That's funny. One episode, Brad posted a pic of one of his beers. We were doing a brew review, and then you look up 5 minutes later, and Jerome like shows up.
He's like, "That beer, I got a better version. Here you go."
Yeah, he's like, "Yeah, I saw you on IG, and just want you to have this one." It was funny. I was like, "That's cool, man."
That's funny. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think of the distributor space? Have you been
Over there? I have. I was actually there the same day you guys were
the
there.
The opening, the preview party. Oh, right. Have you been opening for a real crowds of people, non-nerds?
I haven't yet. I haven't yet. My experience when I did go was good, of course. I mean, the staff was just great, obviously. They gave me a tour, so you get all-star service on those types of nights.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of biased. I'll wait for my true assessment until I go there again. But all things considered, for the soft opening, my experience with the soft opening was awesome. Just lots of cool beer people. I love the space. Mm-hmm. The space is beautiful. I'm a big fan of aesthetics, and I think the space in general is very aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm. I went after Bug for the unofficial after party.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was my first time being there, like, with people like that weren't there for friends and family or stuff. And I like that you can just stand anywhere, like, where you can do that at a lot of bars, but you feel like you're in the way, like people are sitting down. But there it's like, I can just, no, it doesn't matter. No one's going to bother me. I can just stand right here in the middle. And that's kind of nice. I don't know.
No, it's got a real beer hall vibe.
Right, yeah.
And it's good. You said it before, it's got a good size to it. If it were any bigger, it would feel a little weird. It'd feel a little like almost like an open space mall. But it's got a good size. And it's just, everyone is so chill because everybody's running back and forth. There's 30 beers. Mm-hmm. You can pour as much as you want, little as you want. Everybody's probably like in sample mode, right?
Right.
That probably plays a role. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and everybody like not being tethered, right, to their seat.
Yeah, so you can just kind of move. You can lean for a little on this like table, or go stand by the wall or barrels or whatever.
Cafeteria style layout.
It's kind of nice. I like that. Yeah. Cool. But we need to talk about Bug.
Beer under glass 10.
10.
Dude.
10-year anniversary.
Same as it ever was, man. That when it's good. Like, I was looking at some photos from 2015.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm rocking a Scully, and, you know, I got these bags on my shoes. That year excluded, right? It's always my jam.
Preferences, bags on your shoes, because it was muddy. Not just like, I didn't have shoes, I was wearing bags.
I'm actually homeless, and I didn't have my shoes that day. Yeah, and then like, man, but when it's right, what's better than Bug, man? You know, when it's good. At its peak, I don't know what's better than Bug.
So have you been to other Bugs previously?
I have. Yeah. I have. I've been to the last, I want to say, 3 or 4 years of Bugs. That's so funny to say. I've been to the last three or four years of Bugs. it's probably one of my favorite events this time of year. Just the space that they hold it at, it's beautiful. Garfield Park Conservatory. It's amongst other beer festivals, it is, in my opinion, one of the most recreational, obviously.
Yeah.
There's just lots to do, and different types of people can go to this event and have a good time. Whether you're a social type person, or you're just the type of person to bring a friend and kind of do your own thing, mm-hmm. or even if you want to go by yourself and just go and make some friends and, you know, explore. I mean, it's that type of event. It's catered for all different types of people.
Right. Yeah. You can wander and look at plants, grab a beer. No one's like, what's that dude just standing there not talking to anyone, like, right. Oh, you can kind of just do your thing. It's nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's not your normal fest for sure. And I like getting caught up with all these brewers. Like, it's not all the time where they're all hanging out from every portion of the region, right? Like, I was talking to Tribes. They got a spot in Tinley. Their original spot's in Mokena. He's like, yeah, we opened another location in Mokena. I'm like, so what, you got 3 locations? She's like, yeah, we're opening the third one Friday, right? Like, and they got a patio, and they got this lager. Mm-hmm. And, like, just catching up with everybody all at once, you know, was really cool for me, because everyone who owns these joints is pouring.
Yeah.
Right? And that's cool.
Right.
In most cases, yeah.
Most of the time it's someone, that works there, or they are a good friend of it. It's not the FOBAB kind of style where it's, like, just volunteers, like, and no one knows what they're pouring or anything about it. They can tell you something about it, so it's nice.
Yeah. Right.
I dug that. I didn't see either of you guys there, so I was mad at you because you got the more peanut. I saw the peanut butter henna. I'm like, this fucking guy. When I got there, when I checked in, they were like, yeah, the rest of the beer pass is already here. I'm like, oh, you know. Okay, nice to see you too. Hello.
I got there.
It's a nice welcome.
Just before 6 o'clock, and headed straight towards that alarmist, more What was the...
I pull this map up here. Hot Butcher was over
there. Hot Butcher was over there.
Soul Tacos was over there, too.
Yeah, so that was a busy little outdoor area. And I was like, I'm going to get that spot over with because I don't know if I can make it back that way.
That whole right side courtyard was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, from the start. That's where I held, so I did a lot of...
The artist guard.
Interviews. And that's where I held a lot of my live interviews was some
cool.
people over there. I knew the hardcore... Hot Butcher loving beer nerds would be over there, so I picked some people out of the crowd and, you know, did my interviews.
Oh, but, cool.
That whole area was killer. The henna was, I really enjoyed it.
You had the henna too?
I did.
But there was two variant, or there's the peanut butter henna and then whatever the other barrel aged.
It was the
when I got there
French
was...
silk.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
It was just, there was a non-barrel aged 11% Imperial Stout there.
Okay, and you were like, no thanks?
I had it. I was like, I don't remember the name of this.
Okay.
I just know this is not henna. I was a snob.
The peanut butter fudge was good, and never, I haven't had really any of those, so I don't have like a good base for it, but it was good. It was like my second beer, so it was like, all right, we're ready to rock.
Yeah, man. Forbidden Root, Hot Butcher, Alarmist, Great Central, Smiley Brothers, Moore, and Laginitis were all back there. Roaring Table was back there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a good part. I don't know. I think I started the opposite direction. I walked in and boom, Hopewell's right there. You know, they got a nice sour, they got a little buddy, and then on the left.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I started.
Yeah, that was Hopewell, and then Wolf Den.
Yeah, Wolf Den was right there.
I actually tried one honorable mention is Wolf Den's Stout. They had a Russian, I believe it was Russian Imperial Stout, but it was a high ABV stout that I thought was great. It was actually one of the more notable non-barrel aged stouts that I had that day.
Nice. I didn't know them, and I just skipped over. I was like, I got to get in here. Maybe I'll make my way back.
You got to get the big boys first. You got to get over to those.
So cold brew coffee from... cold brew coffee ale from Hopa is the first beer I had.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I made my way over to that left corner. Cool. What are we calling that? I love the names of these
garden.
Places. No, that's the right corner.
Oh.
Sugar from the Sun.
Sugar from the Sun.
Left, is the left corner.
Okay. Yeah. I know Nick and I were talking about how previous years it had all been in alphabetical order, which is easy to find what you want. So, but then I was talking to Kevin, and he said... Kevin from Beguile, yes. And he says people get screwed on that. If you're always C or D brewery and you have a shitty spot, you will forever have a shitty spot.
Yeah.
So by doing it random like this, it mixes things up. Other brewers share tables and you get to know other people and you have a new spot. So that was kind of a good take on it for me being like, where's my breweries at? I don't know where anyone is. This is bullshit.
Who told you to shake this all up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say Kevin Carey's like, is he like the president of the guild or what is he?
He was. I thought Adam from Brickstone is, right?
I don't know. I don't keep up.
Alex.
Good from Brickstone.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the president. He's definitely heavily involved in a lot of events that they put on.
Okay.
Alex Lovingood.
Yeah.
Who's doing the pro wrestler thing very well. We ran into him. He's got the mirror shades.
The pit vipers. Dude, talks about them all day long.
He's got the long hair.
Shout out Alex Lovingood.
He's got the stash. I'm like, this dude is ready to hit me with a steel chair.
I feel like, he was a president at one point. He is heavily involved. Same with Kevin. Kevin was at some point, but he's not the president now, right?
I don't know.
So it's on their website.
It's on their website. We're also, I'm not a guild member, so I don't go to the events. So I don't know who's there all the time.
Yeah, we complained. We didn't complain. We noticed that most of the breweries were outside this year. I think there were the four at the Palm House in the very beginning when you walk in, and you got the gorgeous cover photo shot. And then there were two to the left on the indoors.
Goose.
And then and Goose and who was next to Goose, man?
Nick's pulling up the map here.
Pollyanna.
Oh, yeah.
Goose, Pollyanna. Yeah. Goose and Pollyanna.
Yeah.
Oh, but then as far as indoor spaces with actual plants, like that was it for breweries.
Right.
And there was that hallway that led to the artist garden, but there's no plants in that hallway.
Right.
So it was a very short list of breweries that were inside amongst the
Right. That previous room last year where there was like a lot of people were in, that is now, it was an installation right now that ends next weekend.
Oh.
And okay. So it would have been gone.
Is that why it was that room not open? I don't recall being in that larger room where majority of breweries were last year.
It led out towards that artist garden into like that hallway that kind of goes down the ramp. There was like a big open room.
Oh, it almost looks like a greenhouse room.
Yeah, but
called the showroom.
Yeah, but right now.
The show house, sorry, show house.
It's all those flowers, and that is an installation.
That makes sense. So, now this is making more sense now.
Apparently that will be gone next weekend. And so something else goes in there or it would be empty. So Bug was moved up or it was moved up the weekend or back a weekend.
Last year it was the same weekend as Dark Lord Day.
Right. So they moved it up because Dark Lord Day screwed them up. No one wanted.
You're picking at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
You really are.
You're not going to both. I mean, unless you're nuts. Unless
you're Nick.
A lot of folks are nuts, but not enough to sell out Bug and Dark Lord Day, I don't think, right? Right. I think that was part of the issue, right?
Right. So they sold out this year, which was great for them. Mm-hmm.
I was quite surprised, actually. I got in through Kristen Tassie, who helps run the event, and she had said, oh, yeah, you know, just make sure to, you know, share anything you can about the page and whatnot. So I go to share the page the next day and the tickets are sold out.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's cool. I mean, I was surprised that they sold out as quick as they did, but I figured it had something to do with them pushing the date up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think on the way outside, Goose had a vanilla and wheat wine from this year on the BCS series. Oh, and then in a cooler they had King Henry in a bottle. Like you open the cooler, it's full of ice, and there's one bottle. It's King Henry.
And they were just pouring it for friends.
I'm like, I'm gonna have whatever's in that cooler. And he looked around as if, you know, asked him for like a gram or something, right? And then he pulls it out. You know, that was fun. And then we made our way outside, and that's where all the action was on that left in the Sugar of the Sun, that left side.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I ran into. The Salmoth guys, Eric Hobbs, he was over there pouring.
Formerly of Penrose.
Mm-hmm. Sean from Sketchbook, he was pouring. He was doing something where you're like, oh, give me three things, foods that you want, and I'll give you a beer. All he would do would just blend all three of their beers together. And so, so I drank all the Sketchbook beers at one time.
Right on. So. Saint Laurent was out there. I remember having them for the first time last year on the other side, the part that there were no brewers this year. We talked about the show house. They were on that side. That's the first time I ever had them was at this party last year. Yeah, they were out there. Who else?
Energy City was out there.
Energy City. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to the Energy City dude.
I think Corridor was in that same area.
Corridor, Half Acre, Rev, Maplewood. Afterthought.
I skipped all those. Yeah.
Afterthought was a crew out there that I don't think I ever had before. Oh, and I really enjoyed. I think it was Batch 100. I really dug that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a fun little corner. I was over there for a second. Yeah, Sugar of the Sun.
It was a nice corner. Yeah. Another honorable mention in the Stout department is Maplewood's Cup of Oreo.
Oh, dude.
That was good stuff.
Dude. Yeah, because I had the Mr. Shaky. And I'm like, this is cool. You know, I dig it. And then I'm like, well, they're like, yeah, we're last pour and you try the Oreo. I got the Oreo. I was like, oh. Okay, right on, man. Mm. It's like a dead ringer for double stuffed Oreo.
Oh, yeah.
Like
really?
On the easily, nose. Yeah. And then, like, it wasn't, I mean, it was full of flavor, but it wasn't, like, overly dense. It didn't leave you feeling bad about having a pastry stout. Like, some pastry stouts would do that. You know, where it's like, man, if I have another sip of this shit, I'm going to be sick, right? It wasn't like that. It was, like, well done, but, like, really, really desserty.
That's
it was nice.
Sort of how I felt with the peanut butter fudge. I was like, you just ate a brownie. And it's like, I don't need another brownie.
Yeah. It was very dessert-like. There wasn't a whole lot of boozy or barrel character with that beer, which I actually liked as a change of pace. You know, some of these barrel-aged stouts can be a little bit too heavy on the barrel character or, you know, just overall booziness of the beer.
Yeah.
With PB Fudge Henna, it was nothing but dessert-like.
Man, you guys had henna.
We're just rubbing it in for you.
Let's see how many times we can say it.
Any other standouts from that corner, that Rev Energy City spot you guys had?
It all became a little bit of a blur after that for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I just started saying hi to everybody after that.
Yeah, I know.
It was end of the night.
I was like, dude, like, yeah. I think I'm like, I hung out at.
That's where you started. You went that way first.
Yeah. Well, right. So, well, it was Goose. Goose celebrated year 31 this week, right? It's craft beer week. Mm-hmm. So then Goose was acting up at Fulton, pouring all this stuff that you didn't need to have as a pregame to bug, but you went anyway.
So you pregame bug.
Then I probably should do that next year. I probably should not do that.
It's all right. I made the same mistake. No. I was actually supposed to make an appearance to the unofficial bug after party at District Crew Yards, and I ended up not making it because by the time I left there, I was, you know, wobbling a little
bit. Yeah, I was very excited to have the Tribes Lager, and then a couple down from them, Spiteful had a 2.7% Rattler with tangerine. I was very excited to see that because I really needed a breather. Like, everything I had was good, but it was so big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will was pouring the cream ale from Open Outcry.
See, that would have been good.
That was nice.
That was one of my interviews. John Brand actually showed up later on in the night.
He's the other Open Outcry guy?
Yeah, he's the owner, actually. Okay. Very good friend of mine, actually.
Oh, cool.
John's probably one of the best business owners that I know. But he showed up. I did an interview with him. Spoke to Will for a little bit, who's also a great guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that they picked him up because he's definitely brought a very huge technical advantage to their product. But Speculator is probably one of my favorites from them as well.
Okay.
And that's worth a mention as well. In terms of cream ales, probably one of the best ones I've had. And I see a lot of those surfacing nowadays.
Cream ales?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like a cream ale. They're forgettable though. That's the problem. Like they are good, or when they can be good, they're good. But they're like, I'm not gonna remember I had that cream ale. Like in general, like, well, it's tough. Maybe I need to have more of them. I don't know.
Right on. So Brady, what do you do when you're not doing Shy Beer Guy? What else is going on in Brady's life, man?
That's an interesting question. It's mostly Shy Beer Guy and work. I'm a heavy worker, so I work in distribution. Like I said, but majority of the time I'm just kicking back at home, probably enjoying some Netflix original shows. And that's probably as human as I get if I'm not working on anything work related. But yeah, there's not much going on in my life other than work these days. My whole life is consumed by beer related things. But it's cool. I enjoy it. I enjoy doing what I do. I think I'm just trying to further what I do in the beer realm in terms of providing value to people. So in terms of the live reviews that I do on a weekly basis, I'm diving more and more into the realm of comparing price points to my actual thoughts of the beer and whether or not I personally think it's worth it. And I feel that in reference to consumers in general, I think that's one of the most useful things that anybody can do is provide their opinion in relation to the price point, because that's becoming a more hot topic. I mean, this stuff it's not cheap, you know. It's not the worst, but it's not cheap.
We got a long way to go when you compare it to the best wines in the world. Like, we're drinking the best beer, some of the best beer in the world. Yeah,
undoubtedly.
And we're drinking the best wines in the world. There's some room there as far as price point. But to your point, like, yeah, you're looking at like, yo, do I get two of these cool tall boy four packs, or do I go get a really nice bottle of Woodford Reserve at this point? Right? Do I go get a Michter's Rye? Like, what do I do?
Right. So, I just try to provide as much value as I can on that front, and that's what I'm focusing most of my efforts on. If you're looking for a human-like, for lack of a better term, category of my life in which I'm living, Netflix. That's probably it. That's the only thing I do. Yeah. Hang out with the lady at home and watch.
So what
Netflix.
Are you seeing as far as the price point going? Because you're out there. We're just out there buying the beer. You're out there trying to sell the beer, and you're also buying it. Like, is that 20 dollar kind of the tipping point for most people?
Yeah, I would say that it is. That's probably the way I like to think of it personally is three tiers. You've got your top tier breweries that are going to hit that 15, 16, 17, 18, 99 four pack. And then you've got your kind of middle of the road, which is just underneath that 14.99, 13.99, maybe even 12.99 four packs. That's like a tier two. And then you've got your bottom tier breweries that aren't necessarily always bad. And those are the things I'm looking to dive into more, is where are these hidden gems at? Where mm-hmm. are these hidden gems that are, that'll help you save a buck and you get the quality that you want from it. So that's kind of what I'm looking into, but I definitely think that $20 realm is the top of the charts. That's about
right, because a lot of time it's like $20 four pack or $13 six pack, right? Like right. That's kind of our jump here. So it's like, do you want six beers or do you want four beers that maybe are a little more interesting, right? That's kind of what's happening, and it's a tough call, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, and it's cool that, you know, everyone's kind of focusing on, like, offering, like, what they think the sweet spot is, because there's so many options, you know? Like, we all need help with navigation, even if we're drinking all the time. Like, I love just hearing what other people think about stuff, mm-hmm. just because there's so many damn options, you know?
I've also found that...
Can't drink them all.
That expectation is everything. even when I worked at in bar-restaurant industry, I found that... If I was to articulate a beer to the best of my ability, that person was more likely, or less likely, I should say, to be disappointed on the sample that I bring them, as opposed to me just bringing them the sample, obviously, right? So expectation, I feel, is everything. That's why you see people in beer groups on Facebook or even on Instagram, is this any good? You know, what did you think? One of the beauties of the craft beer industry is just the conversation.
Yeah.
The talking points of beer are just so interesting. And also you can pull a lot of value from it. You know, if you hear majority of people saying they like X beer, you know, chances are you're going to try that beer and make your assessment. But at least you know what to expect if you read or listen to a detailed review about that beer.
Right.
So you're less likely to be disappointed. So expectation is everything. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm getting louder about.
Okay. You
know, online in the social spaces, I'm starting to get louder about things like that, whether it's price point and expectation and just overall just what to expect in a beer. And I like to use the terms all things considered, meaning, you know, all things considered, what this beer was intended to be and what it's actually tasting like now, this is my assessment. This is how I feel about it. Because I feel like people are so quick to judge a beer based on their definition of something, but they don't think about what the beer was intended to be.
Right.
Which I feel like should be considered.
Yeah, and it's becoming, I want to say even hazier with all the haze stuff, but like it's coming messier with like, oh, well, that a week old, it's not as good. There's like this threshold, and it's like, well, also maybe that Saison was 2 months old and you're used to this hazy, fresh juiciness from your beers now. It's a different experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the beer drinker has gotten, more demanding is maybe the...
I'm here for it, Brad.
I say more maybe entitled.
Entitled
to whatever it is they expect.
Yeah.
But again, I think expectation is everything, and I can't say that enough.
Mm-hmm. Who you messing around with? I see you post a lot of pipe work stuff. Kind of.
I'm kind of all over the board. If you look at my Instagram, it's predominantly hazy stuff. Just because those beers are just so complex, and the breakdown of those beers is really interesting to me, because what I like to call them is a flower beer or an onion beer or a flunion beer is what I'm calling it lately. And what I mean by that is with these beers, when they tend to even warm up a little bit, they tend to open up like a blooming flower. And mm-hmm. you look at the beer, you taste the beer and the complexities of it, And my analogy there is like a blooming flower in the sense that it opens up and you see the intricacies of the petals and what's going on with that flower, or an onion, in which case you peel back the layers. Yeah. So that's the way I like to describe those beers, but I don't think there's any one brand that I'm predominantly a fan of. I'm an advocate of the market. I'll try any beer out there, mm-hmm. no matter what brand it is. Obviously, I have my preferences in terms of who I think is creating top quality liquid.
Okay.
But I'm kind of all over the board.
So I ran into Pete Crowley at Bug.
And right on. The guy,
the legend,
the guy who created Fovad.
Yeah. He had a Haze rant.
Oh man.
Pedro. Haymarket's not really doing hazy beers. They have their beer called Hazy is Lazy,
sure.
which is really just a IPA.
Yeah.
Pete is from more of a classic beer is beer kind of standpoint. What are your thoughts on that? As you're drinking more of the hazy stuff, do you feel like his opinion is it's turning off beer drinkers. It's not getting them to drink more beer. You're just drinking more of the same thing, and you're not moving to the next one where maybe like IPAs, you were looking for something else. Sour beers, you were looking for something else. Haze, a lot of it is juice, right? So
sure. So you're getting in it for the juice.
Juice, and it doesn't. You're not in it for the beer.
Right.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that as you're drinking more of it and this trend isn't fading?
It's here to stay.
Yeah.
It's here to stay. It's not even a trend anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's an official category at GABF. As I turn my hat backwards, here I go. You know, I can agree to a certain extent. With this particular style, I think it's definitely revolutionized the market. And more people are drinking these beers, and more people are getting involved in the craft beer industry because of these beers. However, I think there is a point to talk about, and that's that people are not moving on to different styles. Mm-hmm. They're just trying these different iterations of hazies from different brands. Now, I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but to further advocate the market, I feel like another point to bring up and get louder about, you know, online specifically is what else are you trying besides hazies?
Right.
Because I have physically spoken to a handful of people who know how to articulate on all types of hazy beers that they've had recently. But when I ask them about their local, I don't know, stout.
Bavarian Amber, yeah.
Or Bavarian Amber or a Dunkel or... Even something as simple as a regular pale ale.
We just had a farmhouse ale from like Tank 7.
Yeah.
In the pre-show, yeah.
And so. We like you almost forgot like how to like.
We're just like.
Yeah. What are these flavors?
it's so jarring. It's just, how different
it's
it is.
It's different. Yeah. Unbelievably different. But I mean, it's a testament to both that style, and it's also, again, just something to talk about. One thing I've been doing recently is getting back to my roots. For a long time, I did a lot of hazy reviews. Now I'm getting back to my roots in terms of mixing it up, which is how I've always been before these hazies came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a huge fan of mixing it up. You know, I'd go from a lager to a dunkel to a stout to a Oktoberfest to a whatever. I mean, it really doesn't matter. But the point of craft beer is to try all different styles and see what these brands are putting out. So, we can sit here. I could talk. How much time you guys have? I could talk for 3 hours about hazies and how it's affected the market. But
maybe
I won't get into that.
On the sense, like the people like you and even us or other beer people, just doing that. Like, okay, I just want to have something else. Like Zoller was like, I'm not reviewing hazy beers. I'm not doing that this year. He's like, I'm gonna try different beers and talk about different beers. Like. I guess the media or the influencers kind of doing that may help push things. Be like, try this beer. It's, like, that's good. That mm-hmm. juice is good. Like, we had the Citra, the juice. Like, it's great.
There's no denying hazy beers. Like you said, JBF just opened up another category for it, right? But then, yeah, you're right, man. Like, dude, beer was traditionally, like, seasonal, right? And then, like, but even more so than that, like, the there were other phases in beer, like trends in beer, right? Like a couple years ago, everyone, we were talking about this, everybody made a Goza for a minute, right? Everybody made a Black IPA for a minute. Oh, but man, the difference between those and this haze is that, like, this is on the second or third iteration of this wave. And those other things just kind of had a season and came and went. So this is, you know, this is real, this haze.
Oh, yeah.
The haze boy, the haze boy phenomenon is real, haze and boys, it may not go anywhere ever. Fanboys,
whatever you want to call it. I mean, if you just think about the style, it's just so complex. Not that other styles aren't, but these brewers are loading them with hops. They're just loaded with all different combinations of hops and different grains. And, like, there is just more effort being put into these beers than a lot of other beer styles. Not all, but a lot of other beer styles. So that being said, I mean, just the sheer amount of work that's being put into them and the market value of them just goes without saying. I mean, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's about adapting. And I think haze fatigue is a thing. I've got a little bit of haze fatigue, but I still enjoy the style. The amount of times that I'll drink a hazy IPA throughout the week is only a couple times comparatively to what it was 6 months ago to a year ago. And I'm drinking more. One thing you mentioned, Mike Zoller, he mentioned, he was actually on a piece of my content before. He mentioned drinking more lager. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm kind of migrating to these days, is especially with summertime rolling around, is drinking more lager, but quality lager, not just a general lager. Mm-hmm. I mean,
no
quality
Dos Equis,
lager.
Bro.
Nah, yeah, no Dos Equis. No, not this time. Well, I'll wait for the review. No, the review will be...
No, hay unas coronitas.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just so interesting, that conversation, how it's affected the market. And how do we get people to make that transition? You know,
embrace the season. How do we get the haze boys and the pastry boys to embrace the seasonality of beer more, right? And maybe just and slowly dip their toe in these other styles that existed for hundreds of years, right? I don't know. It's an interesting conversation, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening anytime soon, because the hazy train has reached a point where it's almost a like novelty.
Yeah.
In the sense that you slap a new label on a slightly different recipe and you're going to sell the shit out of your beer as long as it's quality. I mean, it sucks from a brewer's standpoint, and even from a consumer's standpoint, is like your local brewery is going to be continuing to put out these different hazies, and you're going to continue to pick them up because it's just something that's different, mm-hmm. you know? And that's, again, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You just have to mix it up.
Yeah. You'll know at some point because the shelf life is fairly short on them. So if the trend fails, you will know faster than another, if Imperial Stouts fell through. Like, those could sit on shelves for 2 years before anyone was like, okay, yeah, and these aren't selling. But haze stuff, couple months, it's like, oh shit, this isn't working, we don't want any more of your beer. Yep. Kind of thing.
That's another talking point, and something else I'm getting louder about is that wheelhouse window. So where does that window end, you know? And something that I've come to find is that some brands have a very, very short window with their hazies, and mm-hmm. others have a little bit of a longer window. I'll give you the perfect example. If you guys have heard of Weldworks out of Colorado,
yeah,
make Juicy Bits. Mm-hmm. I just had a Juicy Bits last week, and the can date was March 19th, and it tasted just as good as it nice. Does when it's fresh. So that was really surprising to me, and I immediately jumped on Instagram and wrote a little thing about it. But if you think about a lot of other brands out there that aren't known for their hazies, they're not really selling them that much because the shelf life isn't the greatest.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about that for sure.
When we talk to alarmists, they're like, we need these to be more than 2 weeks. Like, it just doesn't, you can't sell to Woodman's with your beer being like, this is no good in 2 weeks.
Like, you got to get in it right away. That doesn't work.
You need longevity with this style mm-hmm. if you're going to continue to play in that area of the market.
Right.
And win. Play, not even just play, but play to win. I mean, because a lot of these brewers are, with that style, are playing to win.
Man.
Sick hazies. That was a nice little sick hazy rant right there.
Yeah, I can go on for hours and hours. I don't know how much time you guys have, but we'll move on for the sake of progress.
So Nick, you got a big list there. What haven't we hit on yet?
What are we talking about? Did anybody make it to Smells Like a Bean, Smells Like a Beer Fest, the microphone party?
No. I did not.
I did not either, yeah.
I really wanted to.
I kind of wanted to go to, too.
I watched some updates. I heard it was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, Goose posted something because they tapped, like, I don't know, maybe Prop 13 at this thing, and there was a VIP tent, right? And, like, apparently it was, like, a real crush inside the VIP tent. But I didn't go, so I just wanted to know if anybody went. Oh, but I'm hanging out at Goose before Bug, and one of the guys who went said the first beer to kick in the VIP tent was Pip's Meadery. It's like, you had a beer fest. They invited, like, three meaderies. You know, I forget the other two. But, yeah, the first thing to kick was a meat. That Smells Like a Beer Fest.
That's funny.
That's weird. Yeah. I don't know. Did not make it to that.
Low ceilings and... its partner, Orange Chantilly, came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Phase three.
Phase three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, you know, talk about sick hazies, right? Like this creates a little bit of excitement because, you know, at first you would line up at Moore or you'd line up in Schaumburg and get Sean the Brewer's beer. Mm-hmm. And now it's like the hunt is on. It's the Easter egg hunt, right? You got to get there. When your local store opens, you got to chase the truck and get these beers. So that's what I did.
You chase the truck.
I chased the truck, you know.
Chasing the dragon, man. That's all you're doing.
Then, like, you know, and then they're embracing it because they're like, and I don't know who else is doing this, but it's kind of cool. Like, their whole Twitter feed is all about, all right, cool, Suburban Breweries are this day, City Deliveries are this day, and every time they show up, they post where they dropped, you know? So you're like, oh, fuck, I got to – what's near me kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's a rat race. That's a way to market your product these days, man. I mean, like, all these people are just going.
Yeah, so it was fun. So – what I learned about phase three was that, you know, the bigger outlets aren't getting. So first time I had it was at the Open Bottle in Tinley. Okay. And it was a mixed four pack. But those guys are mixing those four packs themselves. When they come from the brewery, they're not mixed. I didn't know that.
Okay.
And then also, so I went to Benny's. There's a Benny's near me. I'm at Merchandise Mart during the day. There's a Benny's 5-minute walk. So I go to Benny's and I get the full four pack. And I'm like, well, where's the other two? They're like, that's not how it works. So I didn't know that, right?
Yeah.
And also we learned kind of talking all day at Goose that, like, those smaller stores are actually getting more of this beer than the bigger stores are, which was kind of interesting. Mm. Yeah, so if you're looking for phase three stuff, align yourself with a shop as opposed to, like, a bigger location. Okay. According to the small sample size of a Drunken Friday.
If you're talking to drunken beer people.
Drunken Friday banter, this is what I remember from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else, man? It's been a long day. Oh, but shout out to Goose. They got their new patio at Fulton.
Okay.
And then also, so they went into the vault, like, only maybe I think Goose and Rev can go into the vault in a way that nobody else can in the city. What was a reserve from last year? Knob Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Knob Creek came back and said, hey, give us those barrels. We want to put whiskey in them.
Oh, so they're going back and they're just passing them back and forth?
So I'm talking to El Presidente, you know, Sean Ashman, and he's like showing me a photo of this of this whiskey that was aged for like a year and a half in the barrels that previously held Goose Reserve, that previously held Knob Creek. Right?
Weird.
It's yeah.
Like barrel aged beer inception.
Yeah, right. And he's like, dude, it actually made a difference that Bourbon County was in these, you know. And like and Knob Creek's asking, hey, can we sell this, you know? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, maybe, I don't know. But it was interesting to know that Knob Creek understands what's going on. It's like, hey, we gave you those special 11-year barrels. Can we have those back? Because we want to put whiskey in them after you're done doing your beer thing. That was pretty cool.
Crazy.
That's a smart move to play on the beer market with that.
Yeah. So I thought Goose that was cool.
Also had their first guest tapping.
Yeah. So in my cab ride from Grand Benny's to Fulton, I'm complaining the whole way how all I have is eight. I got eight low ceilings. And that's cool. It's probably going to be good. But I would have wanted four or Chantilly's as well. Chantilly's.
Oh, man.
I'm calling them Chantilly's all fucking day. Oh, yeah. And then I get there, and then they're tapping low ceilings. I'm like, fuck that beer. I got eight of them. And then, you know, someone comes out, we try it, and I'm like, oh, man. Oh, it's the goods. It's the goods. And in my drunken rant, I end up getting like a can of it. So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
How was your hunt, man? Did you make it to get any phase three?
I didn't get the new one, no. Yeah. I have zero beer friends in the industry. The friends that I do have are people that I meet through stuff like this. So you guys are my friends now.
Nice.
I'll check to that.
So I didn't get a chance to get any. But as far as new fresh beers coming out this week, I did pick up that Hop Butcher Pipeworks collaboration,
which I didn't know what it was a thing. Like Brady brought a collab between Hop Butcher and Pipeworks with some really nice artwork.
Yeah.
So we're gonna dive into that at some point. Mm-hmm. That ought to be fun. But yeah, man. Cheers to Goose, man. I had a good time hanging out there before I went to Bug.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whew. All right.
Let's expand on Bug a little bit. Non-stouts and non-hazies that are mentionable. You guys have any?
The coffee porter from Twisted Hippo.
Okay.
That was a nice excursion. I loved all the big stuff I was having, you know, stout and IPA stuff. But, dude, it was a 2 p.m. start for me, and I was really looking for some islands to sit on. So that spiteful thing, the 2.7% thing from them, and the coffee porter from Twisted Hippo, and then the lager from Tribes. I just remember those being, like, these really comfortable islands for me in the sea of big, aggressive beers, you know.
Yeah. Every brewery brought their A-game that day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the time to do it. It's one of my favorite festivals around this time of year, but it's also not only just with the beer and the space, but how social it is, how many beer people are there, how many people, you know, just are there to enjoy beer and enjoy talking to people and meeting other people in the industry. It's one of the best events.
Mm-hmm. I dig that party a lot, man.
Cruz Blanca was pouring the Lady Lumpanada. It's such a good beer. It's part of their Luchador series, so it's it's one of their wine barrel beers. So
okay,
and whew, that's so good. Love it. So that was nice.
We had an episode. It was like a little beer feature episode, and we were like, dude, I don't really want to say this beer is this good, but it was impressive. The Cruz Blanca stuff was definitely impressive on that app.
Yeah. I'm hearing more and more about them. I've got very little experience with them. I've only had their Mexican style lager.
Okay.
But I heard they've done some good stouts, and they've done some good real off styles.
Mm-hmm.
I have very little experience with them, but I look forward to trying them out.
They have like 50 beer de garts. When they first opened, they had like 5 or 6 beer de garts.
Like, how many beer de garts are there?
Yeah.
God damn. Yeah, it was beer de garde and fucking Mexican lagers. I'm like,
call me. I don't. I'll take your beer de garde. They're like, which one? I don't know how to answer that.
Which one?
Dealer's choice. You fucking pick one of the 5 that are on draft right now. Yeah. We're supposed to go to Cruz Blanca pretty soon.
Yeah, I'll talk to Jacob. There. Right on. No, the beers are great.
No, I love their stuff. Yeah. Dude, I love your band.
All right, so honorable mention, another honorable mention. Again, I'm not a big fan of sours. I like it to be on the more mild side of the acidic spectrum, I should say.
Okay.
It was in that same room that was that led to where Hop Butcher was and Forbidden Root and Moore and all that.
Adam Street was out there.
Adam Street was in there. Crystal Lake. Illuminated Brewworks was in there. But Exit Strategy had a really good blackberry sour with lactose.
Oh, okay.
And I liked the addition of lactose because it pulled from the amount of acidity. It also gave it a little bit more creaminess in terms of the body. So it pulled away from how harsh it normally would have been without it. And also it just had nice blackberry flavor. I'm typically not a fan of, again, I'm not a fan of that style.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really nice. It had a ton of flavor. It wasn't overly acidic or tart. And that addition of lactose gave it some really nice mouthfeel and body.
That's nice. So yeah, I only ever have Extra Stratusy stuff at Fest.
Same.
That's I know them, and they're just this Fest brewery to me. Just because, man, it's always usually pretty good. So
I haven't seen them elsewhere. Yeah. I've only seen them at Fest as well.
Their logo is like a briefcase in a trash can, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
The beer I ended the night with was right there. I ended with a Peace beer.
Oh, right on.
Kind of like
okay.
Jonathan Cutler was out over there pouring. I think he was pretty drunk. Nick posted a photo I saw with your, was it your 7 years a bug or six
every
years
year,
a bug?
Man, every time we're at a fest, we're like, we got to take a picture together because it's since FOBAB 2011 that every time I see him, we take a shot together. Yeah.
So he was pouring there, and I ended up, I want to say they had the worry nail, and I was like, this is just how I want to end bug right now. Like, just finish off here.
Something classic, something you're used to.
Beer flavored beer is still alive, man.
Yeah, beer flavored beer. Nice. Right. Any other thoughts on bug before we wrap up here? Anything else?
Excellent party. I thought the having the food, you know, kind of intermingling with along the path with all the brewers was a nice touch. Mm-hmm. You know, having most breweries outside, you know, worked out. You know, it was a nice little 56 degree day. Yeah, man, it's a timeless party. I love that space. You know, I love all the moves that that space does. And everyone was really genuinely excited to, like, you know, be outside partying almost like, you know, on the cusp of summer. You
right.
could feel that energy. Like, we're done with this cold weather shit. Right? Like, we're looking forward to summer. It's kind of, that's what it represents for us, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then everyone's there. Well, there was like 67 or so breweries there, which is quite a bit. So.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was dope. Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it.
It's a good time, yeah. How'd live streaming go from there? Like, how would...
It went well, actually, for the most part. I had no issues with connection, aside from one interview with another local beer podcaster. Other than that, it was good. I made a point to hit a couple of breweries. I did Forbidden Root, Open Outcry, maybe like one or two others, but I mostly made a point to talk to attendees.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where the real honest feedback comes from. And also just it's interesting to hear what people think about the event and what they were looking for. So, no issues there. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin from Guy was saying they do a survey and about the event, and they get like a very high percentage of people respond back. Like, what'd you think of it? What could we do better? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Nice. So Illinois Craft Beer Week continues.
That's true.
What are you guys hitting up this week? Anything? Anything stand out or anything people should know about?
Man, you know, go ahead, Brady. Sorry.
No, you're good. Right. Go ahead.
The Thursday, there's a Hops for Hope. That's an indoor beer fest at Old Irving.
That was my mention.
Yeah. Oh, right on. They did it last year, too. It's a $30 event, 6 to 9. You get pours for 3 hours, but Hops for Hope, it's for that. It's the nonprofit for suicide prevention.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know, which is I want to say that the annual party for Dark Matter in that lot on Chicago and Western is also
for that.
Is also for the same nonprofit. Yeah.
Nice.
It's like a suicide prevention, and then they got like a cool tall boy four pack beer. For that cause too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's Thursday.
Nice. Yeah, I was just over at Old Irving. Always good beer and food there. So.
Yeah.
Number two brewery in the country, according to the People, USA Today poll.
Oh yeah, that's right.
USA Today. I think 18th Street was number one, and Old Irving was number two.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, that's cool, right? And then I'm looking at the rest of the 10. I'm like, man, all these folks are not in Illinois.
Trevor's killing it. Trevor Rose Hamlin over there.
Yeah.
Shout out. He's a super cool dude as well.
I like that dude, man. He's got like a chef background. Right?
Culinary background. He's a cool dude. Very cool.
Their space is quite nice.
It's a nice space.
Yeah. And then
so that's Thursday.
Dark Lord Day, Saturday.
God help us all.
Are you guys going?
This will be our first appearance as a podcast.
Right.
Okay.
We'll be
Dark
there.
Lord Day. Yeah, we'll be there. There's like 50 guest brewers, and then, well, last year you could try all the Dark Lord variants on tap. This year, there are 13 Dark Lord variants.
13?
13 Dark Lord variants, yeah. And then it's all, like, staggered, like, you know, time releases. I want to say, like, this is a 10,000-person party.
What is the sought-after one here? The Chemtrail one, right?
Chemtrail, last few years.
Hanji was a big one.
Yeah, Hanji and Chemtrail are the incumbents, the tradition, like, the ones from last year that banged really hard, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's, like 4 or 5 new ones. That are pretty exciting, right? And these boys love these weird ass names, man. But
for their different variants of it.
Yeah. So The one that really catches your eye, honestly, like that you hadn't heard of before is, well, there's Reptile Fun. That's Dark Lord Aged in Bourbon Barrels and Mezcal Barrels. And then there's Rari Crotchet, which is Dark Lord Aged in Port Whiskey Barrels with vanilla, freeze-dried strawberries, cacao nibs, and toasted coconut. There was another toasted coconut one on here.
Freeze-dried strawberries. Okay.
Yeah. They got a thing. Dark Lord, which is weird. We've all had Dark Lord, right? It's got this. They've gotten the. I don't understand the base beer, right? Like, it's a little too sweet for me. If you talk to the Burn City guys, they're like, Dark Lord, based on what it tastes like, should really be a barley wine because it's so goddamn. There's not enough roast in it to be a stout.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if I'm in that camp, but I understand when people say that, right? Because it's like overtly sweet, and I don't understand the intent. Right. Mm. But then they have this affinity towards these sweet ass fucking like dessert wine barrels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so like, hey, we're gonna take the Dark Lord, put it in this wine barrel that was also
we're gonna make it sweeter.
It's just bizarre.
We're basically trying to make you syrup here. We're just wanna make
it's,
syrup.
I've heard
sugary motor oil.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's designed with the intent of, you know, being enjoyed in, you know, 4 or 5 years is what I've heard. But I don't know, but those barrels are back. Calvados barrels, which is basically like a dessert wine barrel, okay. Dark Lord, yeah.
But
there's 13.
The distillery will be open this year, yeah. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw some pictures of the inside, and they've been working on that for a
couple hundred years.
Forever. Yeah.
At least the last 3 Dark Lord days ran through the distillery that had yet to be open. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be good, you know. It's tradition like no other, man. It's a metal show. With a gigantic beer bottle share in the middle of it.
And some decent food vendors, too.
Yeah, a lot of vegan options, man. I'm excited about that.
You don't always think metal and vegan, but
I mean, I'm just trying to change my life, man. You know, the Floyd's Pub is bringing a couple vegan options, and so is Demon's Tap.
Nice, okay.
Demon's Tap is a guest.
Currywurst, man.
Yeah, they're bringing a vegan option, too.
Cool.
So I'm going all vegan at this thing, man.
No, you're not.
I'm not even joking. I'm dead ass.
These are lies. These are lies. You're going to have a few Dark Lords and be like, oh, let me get a piece of that turkey.
That's what I did. That's what I did at Bug, man. I was looking at my statement. I'm like, man, I threw like $40 at like steak tacos today.
Yeah, that's going vegan.
But yeah, vegan Dark Lord Day sold out Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yep. Newbies and Freshies. That's this week, right? I think Bitter Pops.
Oh, okay.
It's their festival they do. I guess you can call it. It's not really a festival, but it's an event they do at the shop where they'll bring in new breweries that have opened up in the last year and all of their offerings.
Cool.
Phase 3 will be there.
I don't even know who else is open.
I don't even know who else is going to be there. Handful of other newer breweries.
Did Bishi open this year?
Nope.
That was last year. I don't know who opened this year either.
Right, yeah.
Well, this year is in within the last year. So that includes 2018.
Bishi might be, but I don't know. It might be longer than that. I don't even know.
It's all a blur, man.
It is a blur, yeah.
What else is going on? Oh,
the one event that's not going on
is the closing ceremony. Now,
there is a workforce closing ceremony or closing party happening. That I know, I saw them post about Alarmist is going to be there, but there's no Wesley Craft Beer Fest or what was the one in the park?
Wells Park.
So I brought this glass today. The Wesley Craft Beer Fest sample glass.
Brady, have you been to a closing ceremony for Chicago Craft Beer Week?
I have not.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, because it's not every year, you know, like the landmark opening party is so good, right? And then the initial plan was like, and we know like the members have changed, but leadership has changed at the guild. But the original plan of the close was to have it rotate. Mm-hmm. Have it rotate and celebrate different neighborhoods. Right. I think we've seen that some part of that through their Friday Night Lights series, which rotates neighborhoods, so that's taken on that
spirit. You can't close this event because you got your passport that covers like 167 breweries that you got to hit up. You can't do that in a week. You could die.
I do not recommend that you hit all 167 breweries.
How do you think you could hit your Dixie Highway
spots in a week.
No, there's like eight of them, dude. That's like, yeah, it's like 10 miles, at least 10 miles. Some of them 10 miles apart.
That's a trip.
Yeah. You got a sweet tacker, though. I kind of want that tacker. Yeah. Oh, what else is going on?
Real quick, I want to mention the newbies on the list of newbies and freshies. So in the last year, City Lights Brewing, which I'm not familiar with myself. No. Energy City.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. Mango Lassi.
Yeah. Ooh, so good.
I also loved that raspberry milkshake. Oh, yeah. I thought that was real good. Faux Beer Co., so Foreign Objects.
What?
Foreign Objects.
No.
No.
Yeah, out of, I believe they're out of New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, so this just isn't Chicago brewery or Illinois breweries.
Not to my knowledge, no. They're in the Chicago market on shelves. They make nothing but double dry hop stuff, and it's actually worth checking out. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be there. Funkworks, whom I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. Funkworks is out of Colorado. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funkworks, okay.
Fun stuff. And the cute little bottles, just like that Tank 7.
Okay.
What is that, 250?
Something like that, yeah.
It's nice.
Grim Ales, Kinslager.
Grim Ales is New York. Kinslager is like West Burbs, like Park. Yeah. Something like that.
Yep. And Old Nation will be there. Surprising.
Yes.
I'm going to say Michigan. That's my guess.
Oregon.
I was off.
I think that's right. Phase 3.
Old Nation isn't new. Are they new here? Because they've been around. Oh, that's Great Nation.
Oh, I'm thinking of Great Notion.
Yeah, there's
Great Notion. Great, so yeah. Old Nation is M43. Make M43.
Yeah, from Michigan. Sorry. Yeah,
Michigan. Yeah. Yeah.
We need a beer Jeopardy in this bitch. I'd be on the leaderboard right now.
Next show we'll run a competition style.
Oregon craft, Michigan craft beer.
Phase 3 will be there, and Urban Renew.
Yeah.
We just talked about them. They occupy the old
metropolitan space.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So those are the newbies. Freshies on the list will be Alarmist, Hop Butcher, Hubbard's Cave, Mars, Noon Whistle, and Sketchbook.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's a solid fresh lineup.
Legit freshies.
All those breweries are exciting. The new ones obviously are super interesting to me because they're new to the Chicago market.
When you named them, I'm like, I am curious. Mm-hmm. And that was my original plan going into Bug. I just like, hey, I'm just going to tap all the new guys.
And then you're over there drinking Rev.
There was a lot of new ones.
It all goes out the window. Oh, look, it's King Henry. Well, let me slow down. Right?
Like,
it all
goes here's out. Goose Island. Don't mind if I do.
Once you hit a certain alcohol percentage. That's what I'm asking for the fucking Goose Island. Once you hit a certain alcohol percentage, you abandon your plans.
Oh, don't mind if I do.
All right, we should get out of here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man. That was fun. Brady Potts, it's a pleasure to meet you, man. This was cool.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. This was great. Where can people find you, get in touch, see your stuff?
Yeah. I'm on Facebook. I'm kind of all across the board. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube, Spotify, Untappd. Although Untappd, I don't update regularly, unfortunately. I do a lot of my beer updates on my Instagram. That's probably my primary platform.
That's where the heat is, man.
That's where everything is. That's where the community is. That's where most people talk. Aside from Untappd, I think that's the best place visually for beer and for beer content. So I'm on there, shy_beer_guy. I'm on Facebook, shy_beer_guy. Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube.
Nice. Nick, how about you? Where can people find you this week?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Launched Instagram, Chicago Beer Pass, always posting those haze photos.
Fuck yeah. I think we launched 2 today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Phase 3 and Lejuice up there today. All right, but we'll be back with a post-Dark Lord episode next week. Take care.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, man, we win.